You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Willis Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
You have to have help. We all have help. I love that little girl. I know I've said this the last few weeks, but this little girl in the church came up to get saved. True story. Actually happened. Came up to get saved. She was just, I don't know, 10, 11, whatever, I don't know how old she was, just a little girl. And the pastor asked her when she came down to the invitation, well, honey, why did you come up here to accept Jesus? And she says, well, I can't do this by myself. I think that's so profound, out of the mouth of babes, amen? We need to get that revelation that we just can't do this thing by ourselves, not by ourselves without God, not by ourselves without each other, hallelujah, amen? If you can fulfill your vision by yourself, then your vision is not from God, because God includes a lot of people in your vision. He includes you working with other people. If you can't learn to work with people and praise other people and thank other people and help other people, maybe there's those that you need to be helping, but there's also that you need help from and learn from one another and so on. If you can't do that, you're not going to grow and you're not going to get much done. I mean, all the accomplishments of this church, my, over these years. What a testimony to people getting together in a small town. You're just getting together, trying to serve God. Just want to serve God, love God, and want to obey God. Amen. And we've done it together. We've joined together. God wants you to serve Him together. He wants you to serve Him together. Here we are. It's Valentine's. We acknowledge our girlfriend, boyfriend, or wife, or husband. You know, our need for each other, and it's a great. Thank God. What you praise gets repeated. It does, and we should praise each other. We should honor each other. We should thank God for each other, amen? But we should never forget, we need each other. We absolutely need each other. Proverbs 27, notice what it says. I gave you plenty of time to find it. Man, it's so neat to stand up here without somebody interrupting me. In Spanish. Hallelujah. Proverbs 27, verse 17, you know the verse, you've heard it. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Ooh, I like that. That's a powerful statement. You know, you need friends. You're not supposed to do this by yourself. And you need friends in church, in ministry, and you need friends in fellowship. You know, that's fellowship. Brother Osteen used to always say, and you've heard it over and over, it's just ancient. But fellowship is two fellas in the same ship. And I might say this, a ship is going one direction. So it's two fellas in the same ship going the same direction. Amen? So this is a fellowship of believers. Every church is a fellowship that has a cause. They have a vision. They're somewhere they're going, but you know they're together on it, and they get together. They fellowship. And when you hang around each other as Christians, and you should have Christian friends. I mean, you ought to have friends that you cherish, that you love, that you call from time to time, that you know, that you connect with. Why is that? Because you need to grow. And they need to grow. And iron sharpens iron, and the countenance of a friend sharpens, a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Getting sharp means getting useful. If you have a knife that's dull, it's just not much use. But if it's sharpened, then you can use it. Amen? And we get kind of dull without friends. Friends actually bring out our uniqueness. I like that. Because, you know, it's because of all the different colors that we can recognize a color as being unique. Without all the other colors, if everything's the same color, it wouldn't be unique. So I'm not weird, I'm just unique. Amen? When I get around you, you find out my uniqueness. You find out how different I am. You really do find out how different I am when you get around me. But I find out how different you are. And that's good and that's okay and that's God. We're all unique. Praise God. Every one of us have different personalities. Every one of us look different. Every one of us act a little different. You don't need to be acting like anybody else. You follow Jesus, amen, with the personality and the gifts that He's given you. Hallelujah. There's no sense in trying to be anybody else. Everybody else is already taken up. Might as well just be yourself. Amen. And that's good. Just get around others and your uniqueness comes out and their uniqueness comes out and you get together and you sharpen each other just like a knife and you become useful. You say, well, I don't want any friends. Well, that just means you don't want to get sharp. You don't want to be useful. If you don't want God to use you and you don't want to be used at all, then you don't need anybody at all. You can just stay home and watch TV all day long. Hello. Nothing wrong with TV. I'm just saying that, you know, you need to get out every once in a while. Hallelujah. I hope you don't believe everything you see on TV. Now, you ought to quit TV and just stay on Facebook all the time. That's what the truth. Because you can't put anything on Facebook that's not true. There's just no way. I mean, it's, they have a filter, you know, it just won't go on there unless it's the truth. Well, it's hard to work with, sometimes even impossible, with a dull knife. And it's hard to work with us, sometimes impossible, if we're dull and we're not around other people. You know, really, that's what God's all about anyways, people. I remember Brother Osteen told me one time, it's always hit me, it just hits me right in my heart every time he said it. I think about him saying, excuse me, he's gone on to be with the Lord. John Osteen, that was Joel Osteen's dad. But one time I was down in Mexico, actually with Walt Langston. Walt and I had gone down on a mission trip, and we'd been in San Luis Potosi, I think. Yeah, San Luis Potosi. And we'd come back out and stopped in Ciudad Victoria to a conference there. And then we came out, and it was spring break. It was 91. And I said, I was meeting Brenda and the kids. They'd come down to Houston to pick me up. Because it was spring break, and we were going to stop at Lakewood. I was going to take pictures of the old building because they were tearing the old building down, building the new building, which now is the old building. Got it? Okay. They were building a new building, which is a real small building. It only seated 8,200 people with a 2,000 overflow. So, but now that's the old building. Now they have a building 16,000, which they took over the compact center. But I wanted to take pictures of the old building, which only seated 5,000. So they were tearing all that down and making something else of that area. And so I was going to take pictures of it, and we pulled up. And as soon as I pulled up, Brother Osteen and Joel pulls up. This is before Joel ever preached. He was just a kid, you know. Always a real respectful, wonderful young man. Joel's a genuinely nice guy, genuinely shy and very respectful. He's always been a great guy. They pulled up, and Brother Osteen, what are you doing? You know, and he says, well, he says, this is where I work. You know, he made some joke or something. And he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm taking pictures of the building. I just came off a mission trip with Walt. And he said, you know, Michael, he says, when I think about what I've ever done any good at all, I think about you, and I know I've done some good. And I thought, God, what are you talking about? I punched him in the shoulder. Never will forget it. I laughed. I said, what are you talking about, Brother Osteen? All that you do, what do you mean? He said, no. He says, you know, it's all about people, and I think about you. Here you are coming off a mission trip. You got all your kids over here, and they're serving God, and you're up there in Wills Point, pastoring that church. I've done some good. See, he had the right attitude. That just meant everything to me. I mean, in fact, I had a little picture I blew up after he passed away. I've got it in my office of us standing there, Chris on one side, and I'm on the other side, and Brother Osteen's there, you know. Because I always remember that conversation. It meant so much to me. I mean, I walked out of there feeling like $1 million when I left that place. I just thought, wow. I've lived off that word many and many times. Just a simple little word of encouragement. But see, he got it. Some people don't get it. We need to get this. It's about people. Always has been. Always will be. If I can influence a life, if I can help someone, if I can stir someone to serve God, if I can lead someone to Jesus, oh my goodness, man, that's what it's all about. You know, I often think about my children. I often think about you. Now I'm thinking about my grandchildren, 18 and one on the way. Got one in the oven on the front seat. But anyway, I think about when I live my life and when I make my decisions, when I come in across things that I could do and I'm a Christian, it's okay to do, it's not that big a deal, I'm not going to go to hell, but I think about, well, how would this look to my kids? What would this mean to my grandchildren? What I want them to misunderstand. And then I think about the church and I think, what would they think about their pastor? See, that keeps me straight. It sharpens me. It's sharp, not in a bad way, a good way, because I want to be a mentor. I want to be a leader. I want to be an influence. And every one of us are. It's not just as a pastor. Every one of us influences someone. You ever seen that picture of that lion? It was a big lion. He thought about giving up or something, and he says, I looked down, and I realized I have to be strong, and there was a little bitty lion beside him. You know, because that's what our lives are. Our lives are influences. They really are. We need each other. Not only do we need each other, but people need us. And you have to always keep that in mind. I want to be useful. I want to be useful. So I have to have mentors. I have to have leaders. I have to have people I respect. I need church. I need this church. I need to show up here, not just to preach. I need to show up here to glean off you, to draw strength from you. I know you're praying for me. I know you keep me straight in a lot of ways. You don't even realize it. And my prayers keep you straight. We need each other. We are a force to be reckoned with. One to chase 1,000, two to put 10,000 to flight. Hallelujah. If any two agree is touching anything, they ask my Father in heaven, it shall be done, is what Jesus said. So we're a force to be reckoned with when we get together. You get two of us together, woohoo. You get three, wow. You get four or five or 100, oh my goodness, look out, devil. Hallelujah. And the world knows that, and God knows that, and I'll tell you something else. The devil knows that too, and the devil do everything he can to keep you from getting together with people, get you to look at faults and get you to look at differences and get you to think you don't need anybody when you really do. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the churches in this community meeting today. There's a lot of them. Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic. Everybody's not going to be International Outreach Church. I got that. I understand that. When we get to heaven, they'll find out we're right. I know that. But I just thank God they're going to church somewhere. I thank God people are getting together right now and serving God right now and pooling their gifts and talents and their prayers and their faith and their finances right now, and they are making a difference because they're doing that. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're for church. We're pro-church. Not just this one. We're for all churches that name the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? But we have a race to run too, and we don't compete with each other as churches. We complete each other as churches. Hallelujah. Okay, Hebrews 10th chapter. Turn there if you will. Mm-mm. Y'all getting something out of this? Okay, tell your face. Smile a little bit and say, amen, help me, come on, I need some help. Praise God. I've never preached a sermon by myself. Well, there's a couple places I thought I did, but anyway. This is a participation sport, amen. This is not a spectator sport, so I cherish your amens and hallelujah and yeah. Okay. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Everybody say, yeah. Oh, I knew you'd like that verse. Okay. It says, let us consider one another and provoke unto love and to good works. And the 25th verse says, not forsaking our assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day approaching means the coming of the Lord. So the Lord's coming. How did you know that? And it's more so now, it's closer now than it ever was. So more than ever, we need to get together. Hallelujah. I know I'm preaching to the choir, and we don't even have one. I mean, you're here, hallelujah, so obviously you're doing this, but and you're in church. But still, we need that reinforcement, amen? We need that repetition, reminding that we need each other. Everybody ought to be a part of a church somewhere, hallelujah. And get involved. You know, don't just go, just get involved. See what you can do. See how you can contribute. And make the vision come to pass, hallelujah, so you can support the vision. Because you have something to offer. Yes. You've got something to offer. Every one of us have something to offer. It's all of us that make this thing happen. I say that over and over. I cannot say that enough. And I say that often when we receive an offering, because it's not about just money. It's not about just you giving something. It's about all of us giving together. Are you with me? It's about all of us doing our part. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, we've already sent money to build a church in Thailand this year. And was it 2 years ago we did it? We built another church in Thailand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, man, that's exciting stuff. Amen. And we're out of debt. Yeah. And what Brenda did not share, she was talking specifically about the V money, and that is every bit of that was true. It's exactly how it happened. But we also got real aggressive with our missions giving in our church. In 1995, it's when we really made a jump, a leap. We were giving, I don't know, $200 a month to missions or something. I think we gave, well, not total, I mean fixed giving. I think we gave $8,000 that year to missions or something. And we decided, you know what, we're going to double that. We got together, Mo and Ron, who's not here right now, but Mo and Ron and I and Brenda got together and says, I said something about, I really believe God wants us to get aggressive with our missions and double our missions. And I was thinking about supporting Walt Langston every month, and Ron says, well, I think that's great. I think we ought to support Walt Langston. Yeah. I'm thinking, boy, this is the Holy Ghost. I love it when the Holy Ghost comes together. So we all said, yeah, well, let's do that in 6 months. Let's just double it again. Let's put another 200. Let's give another 200 to another missionary in 6 months. Well, we started doing that. 200 a month. Yeah, and in 6 months, we're going to go another $200 a month to another missionary. And these flags represent missions that we support all around the world monthly. Monthly missions. And that's not all the missions we support. They're actually, some of these are in several countries, so they're the same plaque, but we actually have countries and missionaries that we don't have plaques and flags for yet. We ran out of wall, so we're building a bigger building to put some more flags up. But anyway, that's one of the many reasons we're building it. But we started doing that in 95, and we went, I think we had 18,000, 8,000 that year, and the next year, I think we gave 20,000. Then it was 32 one year. Then it was 58,000 one year. And then it was over 100,000. And then we have given over 100,000 every year for several years. In fact, since 1988, we got out of debt in 1998. We got out of debt in 97. Since 1998, we've given over $2 million to missions.
Hallelujah.
Out of this church in Wills Point, Texas. Wow. Wow. And I say we did that. Think about that. That's not a one of us could have done that. Hallelujah. And there coming a day, maybe one could do that. I mean, that's fine. That's fine, too. God can bless you and put you in that position. That's wonderful. But we don't hold back just because we can't give a million. We just give a dollar if that's all we got. We're going to keep giving, though, and it's going to add up. It does add up. That's how you eat a mountain, isn't it? They say eat an elephant, I guess it's better. One bite at a time. That's how you put 2 miles of fence post up. You know how you put 2 miles of fence post up? One post at a time. You just keep doing it. You know why we're doing what we're doing today? 34 years later, we're going on 34 years in this church. My goodness, I've been pastoring almost 34 years. Of course, when you start when you're 10 years old, that's easy to do. But you know what the secret of our success is? Real simple. We just didn't quit. Not all that great, not all that wonderful. We just didn't quit. We just kept doing what God said to do. And sometimes it looked good, sometimes it didn't. Sometimes we picked high cotton, low cotton, and no cotton. High cotton's better. But we just kept picking, amen? We just kept at it, kept going. And, you know, you look back on your life, especially ministry-wise and people you affected and touched and so on and so forth, it wasn't always perfect. You know, you had plenty of opportunities to quit. There were low periods, there were high periods, but you know what? It accumulates. Great successes are just the accumulation of a lot of little successes over a long period of time. That's really what it is. So you look at where you are, it didn't happen overnight, and there were some tough times. But you know what? You stayed with it. Same thing on marriage. You know, here it is, Valentine's Day. Well, goodness, you know, you're going to have some rough times, and you're going to, you know, Brenda didn't always fix me banana pudding every time I wanted banana pudding. Hello. Since I've been on this diet she got me on, I hadn't eaten banana pudding. But anyway, you know, we just hung in there with it. We loved each other, and, you know, we hadn't always agreed. She's always finally come around, but I mean, well, y'all pray for me this afternoon, okay? No, I want to say it real plain. We have a strange and a wonderful relationship. She's wonderful and I'm kind of strange. But you've heard all those. You know, we got in an argument one time and I didn't see her for 2 weeks. And then after 2 weeks, one of my eyes started opening up just a little bit. Well, I had her on her knees just hollering, crying out, get off from under that bed and fight like a man. But anyway. But, you know, we stayed with each other. We had some rough times. I wasn't saved when we first got married. We were very young when I got married. But I got saved later. You know, and Brenda was determined to make it work. I'd get mad and go sleep on the couch. I'd wake up, she'd be on the couch with me. You know, she's just determined. No, you're not running off. You are not going anywhere. We're going to make this work. And that was before I got saved. And I became a Christian. We've been married now. Mm, 43, going on 43 years. That's right. Yep. Got it, didn't I? To make it. That's good. I love you, honey. You know that. Well, it says, don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. Amen? And notice what that first verse, the 24th verse, before he says that, don't forsake, he said, consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. One translation says, be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. One translation says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Well, you know, that's why we need to get around people, because we got to get out of ourselves. It's not all just about us. We need to help others serve God. We ought to motivate others. We need mentors, models, and leaders. We need to be mentors, and we need to be models, and we need to be leaders so others will follow us in loving people and doing the holy works and good works and serving God. We need to show people you can serve God. We need to be lights in a dark world. We're living in troublous times. I don't know if you figured that out or not. That's another reason you need to get out. If you hadn't figured that out, you don't get out much. There's something wrong with the world we're living in. And we're living in dark days. I know that. I got that. But our God is bigger. Our God is greater. Don't forget that when the miracles and the signs and the wonders and the thousands of people that turned their lives over to Jesus in the first chapter of the book of Acts, and the move of the Spirit that swept like a fire across that land took place, it was under the Roman Empire. And God still moved. And Jesus was still Lord. And miracles still happened. So I get frustrated with the government. I do. I know you do too. I get upset about the way things are going in this country. This country is not the country I grew up in. It's changing rapidly. It really is. Society has changed, and values have just been thrown out the window. We change our values like we change our clothes. Hello. And it is disconcerting, and it is a concern of mine. But I tell you what, it doesn't change God, and God's still big as he ever was, and greater as he is in me than he's in the world. And I can still do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. And I'm still more than a conqueror through him that loved me. And I still have the victory through Christ Jesus. And I am still a world overcomer because I believe Jesus is the Christ. And whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ overcomes the world. Hallelujah. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. So maybe all that's going on, and those are points of prayer, and I am definitely praying for our nation and praying for the direction of our country. But I'll tell you what, I've got my faith in God. And I'm not going to lose my focus. I'm not going to let the winds and the waves cause me to sink. I'm walking on the water because God has given me a word. Because God told me I can make it. He told you, you can make it too. Amen. So don't get distracted. Don't let the waves take you down. Don't let the wind take you down. But that's why we need each other. That's why we need church. That's why we need to pray for one another and lift one another. Because when people get down, they get discouraged. People need hope. They want to be loved. They want to be accepted. They want to be heard. They want to be needed. That's just common to everybody. That's what we ought to provide. We ought to tell people they are accepted. We are accepted in the beloved. Are you with me? Anybody that's living in the world, if they'll turn their life over to Jesus, can come out of the world they're living in. Anybody that's living in sin can overcome the sin if they'll come to Jesus. Amen? God doesn't hate people. We don't hate homosexuals. I believe homosexuality is a sin. I'm against that sin, but I'm not against that person. If they'll come to Jesus, Jesus will forgive them and they can get out of that mess. I don't hate drug addicts. I hate drugs. I hate what it does to people. Because I love people, I hate drugs. Are you with me? We don't hate people. We're for people. We're not preaching hell here. We're preaching heaven. There is a hell, but there's a heaven that we preach. The message of hell, as far as that's concerned in this church, and really according to the Bible, is this. You don't have to go there. That's the message. There is a hell. I got that. But the good news is you don't have to go there. The good news is the gate's open. What are you doing in a prison? Hallelujah. The good news is come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what Jesus said. That's the good news. We got a message, all right, and it's heaven. We got a message, all right, and it is forgiveness. We got a message, and it's not sin, it's power over sin. Excuse me for getting excited. So God's will is that we be concerned with one another and that we encourage and promote each other to love others and do good works, that we learn that by example and that we do that by being an example. That makes sense? We need mentors, models, leaders. We need to be mentors, models, and leaders. And we're further commanded in that 25th verse, not to forsake our gathering ourselves together as the manner of some is, because obviously that is the manner of some. People that love God, that are Christians, they don't think they need to be in church. It's not about a law. It's not about legally saying you got to go to church. It just comes down to the principle of you need church, and the church needs you. You got something to offer. You ought to be in church somewhere. Come on, man. Hello. Come on, woman. Let's include everybody. You know, you have something to offer. What are you doing? Just the selfish thing, just keeping all those gifts and talents and all God gave you to yourself when the world needs you and the church needs you? Are you out there? And you need the church. Amen? So there again, the countenance of a friend, or a friend sharpens the countenance of a friend. We get sharp. Hey, that's why I'm so sharp. You make me sharp. You get sharper every time you come to church and hang around Christians. Hallelujah. You get your perspective right. You're thinking right. All of a sudden, it starts making sense. Amen. Things start coming together because you're getting around people of like faith. I love that. God warns us people are going to not get together. He warns us that. He's telling us that's not a good thing to not get together. The manner of some is to not do that, even in the day that the writer of Hebrews said this. But here today, he's saying closer to the coming of the Lord, even more so you see the day approaching. We ought to be aware of that and not isolate ourselves. You know, that's really a tactic of the devil to separate the herd, to cull the herd, isn't it? Because you get out of the herd, you lose the strength of the herd. That's what predators do. That's what tigers do and lions do and, you know, coyotes. They'll try to separate the weak and pull you away from the herd, because if they can get you away from the herd, then you don't have the strength of the herd. You want to stay together. There's strength in numbers. There's strength in us praying for one another. Boy, something goes wrong. Boy, in a small group, everybody hears about it. They start praying. They start checking on each other. That's a good thing. So let's don't get separated. Let's don't be separated from the herd, as it were. You know, I was at a meeting years ago, and it was a camp out youth. It was Lakewood years ago, and I was helping with the youth. And the guy ministering at that time, we had a fire going, and you've probably seen the example, heard of it. And there were some, you know, several coals going as a campfire, and he took his long stick and he just pulled out one of the coals away from the fire, and he just kept ministering. He was talking about, you know, talking about needing each other. And the more he ministered and the longer he took, that coal started going out. And the fire stayed hot. And then he turned back over to it and he said, "You notice this coal over here? You notice what happened to it when I pulled it away from the fire? It went out. It got cold. Because it didn't have the heat of the rest of the fire." That's actually what Ecclesiastes says, is when two lie down, one has heat. But woe be to him that lie down alone. You know what happens when we get in church? We get fired up. We start feeling the heat of the Holy Ghost. We start getting passion again, don't we? That desire gets kindled again. I gotta serve God. I tell you what, I gotta get closer to Jesus. We worship here, and the power of God comes down. All of a sudden, we start getting the heat of the Holy Ghost comes. But without that, we kind of get cold, because we're not reminded of it. We don't see an example of it. We're not encouraged to do it. There's nobody telling us anything. We're just by ourselves. That's why we need to get together. Amen. Many, many reasons why we need to get together. Hallelujah. I'm not going to get through with this. I'm just going to have to wipe it out at one point. I'm not going to quit right now, so don't get happy. Don't look so excited. Come on. But think about this. I'll just quote this and we'll wrap this up. I may pick this up next week. Psalms 1 says this, and I've shared part of it sometime during the service. But it says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." That's fellowship. That's people you hang around. You know, Proverbs also says, "Be not friend of an angry man, lest you learn his ways." Because we are like sponges, aren't we? We just kind of soak up who we're around. We kind of conform to whoever we're around. Brenda's got an uncle, and all of her relatives are born in San Augustine Center, Texas, East Texas, you know. And they're all from that. Her mother has 10 brothers and sisters. Brenda has 34 first cousins. Whew. And I do not know all their names. But anyway, one of them moved over to Bunky, Louisiana. I do say Louisiana. Anyway, Bunky, Louisiana. And he doesn't talk like the rest of them now. He was born and raised in East Texas, but he's been living there so long. He lived on the bayou. And they call it the bayou because it come by your house. Are you with me? He soaked up that accent because he's been there so long. See, because you get around people, you soak up not just accents, but you soak up attitudes. You get around an angry man, you're going to learn his ways. That's why he said don't do that. And that's why he said don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, don't stand in the way of the sinner or the seat of the scornful. Somebody's always critical all the time. You need to get away from that. Pray for them, but don't submit yourself to that. You'll get critical too. You'll get upset too if you hang around that. But it goes on and says this. Says this blessed man. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Hallelujah. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. That's good stuff. Amen. He goes on at the fourth verse and he says, but the ungodly are not so. That's why we need to, we love people. We're not against people. We still minister and we're still civil and nice, and we encourage people that are lost to get saved. We don't hate lost people. Are you with me? We don't look down our noses at them, but we don't hang out with them. If you work with them, you can't help that. Just be a blessing and be a light there. And always love people. Don't hate people. Are you with me? But you ought to have somebody, you ought to have a home to go to. You know, when they persecuted Peter and John in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, it says when they were released, they went into their own company. Fellow believers, they knew who to go back to get strengthened back up and get their perspective right. They had some people that knew would encourage them. They went to their own company. Hallelujah. It says ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. Well, I'm not going to perish with them. I'm going to stay close to you. Hallelujah. I'm going to stay close to Jesus, and I'm going to encourage other people to serve Jesus and love each other. Amen. I need you. You need me. We sharpen each other. We become an instrument of use. Sharp edge that's useful for God to use to help and bless suffering, sighing, dying humanity. That's you and that's me. Amen. Thank you for coming to church today. Amen. This is one sermon you ought to be encouraged with. You're here. You're going, yeah, I believe in getting together. I was here. I heard that sermon. See, take this and go tell everybody else that didn't show up. They should have been here. But anyway, in love. Amen. Okay. Stand up. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo.